Well, as we mentioned in the introduction, yes, we want to hear your story. According to the website for History Chip, which is historychip.com, the history of the rich and powerful, the 1%, has its place, but only if it sits alongside the rest of the world's history. And History Chip began back in 2009 as an effort to include the stories of the other 99% previously left out of history. We've got a lot to talk about with the founder of History Chip. I'm so pleased to welcome Gene McGavin to the program. Gene, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So let's roll it back way before 2009. Was your first few experiences getting interested in history formed around kind of the holiday table with relatives talking about your own family and maybe unearthing some discoveries about some of the people that you love and or were related to?
I suppose, you know, I grew up in Virginia, and Virginia is steeped in history. And I always was quite fascinated by my own history, my own family's history, which went way back in Virginia and way back in Pennsylvania as well. But I think what really crystallized my interest that then took me to History Chip was my fourth grade history textbook taught us that slaves were happy on the plantations and that they were so much better off there on plantations as slaves than they would have been in Africa with their families and what life they knew. When you're taught history in grade school, at least when I was taught history in grade school, and this was granted at the tail end of Jim Crow, history is sort of handed down on like stone tablets, and it's not, you know, from the gods. It's not supposed to be. We don't argue with it. It's what we're taught. It's what we are told to believe. And but then getting a little older, realizing that slaves couldn't have been happy. And then realizing that our history was actually a lie, and our history textbook was a piece of propaganda written by people with a very specific point of view, a very Jim Crow point of view, that then indoctrinated an entire generation of children with a racist idea. And the realization that takes generations to undo, and so the importance of including everybody's voices in history can make a huge difference in people's lives going forward. Had they included the lives of the voices of slaves, the understanding of what it must have felt like to be a slave on a plantation, to be sold, to have your family separated from you, that would have been a completely different education than what I was given in grade school. And then when I was in eighth grade, we were given a history lesson where we were asked to read a couple of dozen versions of the first-person accounts of the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And each of those was slightly different, who fired the first shot, et cetera. And so all of us little eighth grade historians were asked to then extrapolate from all this information what happened at that battle. And so that taught me, that lots of voices are necessary to come to the truth of an event or in history, so that those two lessons, that history can't be true if it excludes crucial voices, and two, that multiple stories add clarity and truth to history. So those were foundational, as much as my as my interest in my own family's history, those ideas became foundational to then starting History Chip later on.
And certainly when we look at the books of our childhood and our young years in school with many of the selective views and the compartmental inaccuracies, and then we experience what you experienced, that sort of epiphanous moment later in life when we started to look back and realize, maybe Santa Claus wasn't the Santa Claus that we were brought up to think of. Certainly the technology and the accessibility to it has also played a massive role in you being able to make the heavy lift that History Chip is has been doing and continues to endeavor to do. Let's talk about the piecing together of what has now become this product and this website and this effort that launched back in 2009.
Well, right. So in 2009, we did launch. It was under the title of Story Chip at the time. In 2019, I changed it to History Chip. Mm-hmm. But so yes, it was a rather rudimentary website. But even then, pre-internet, this kind of a project just wouldn't have been possible. And that's in part why history has been told by the rich and famous, because they were the ones who could write and they were the ones who could read and they were the ones who were telling the story. But now with the internet, where everybody's got a phone in their hand, they can go onto our website and add a story. They can also add their story on social media, but at History Chip, their story then goes into a permanent archive. It goes into history. It's not just thrown away with, you know, people's pictures of people's lunch. It's we have built this platform that is fully searchable. You can take a video of anything that's going on in your world and upload it onto the website, and you've got a piece of history that you've contributed to the story of our world. And yes, that we couldn't do that. We have had growing pains. We've added technological advances every year to History Chip, and we're continuing to do that every day as we continue to make this easier for people to tell their story. We want to eliminate any barriers to telling your story and to being able to say, this is me, I'm here, this has been my experience in this world, this is what it's like to be me, no matter what my station in life, no matter what my color, my abilities, my physical abilities, my whether I'm in jail, whether I'm a drug addict, whether I am a paraplegic, whether I am an immigrant, whether I'm a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, all of us can go onto this website and become a part of history.
It's certainly a remarkable effort, and I have to say, I hope that you're achieving the goals that you have set for History Chip in regards to greatly broadening the diversity of these stories being told. I have to say, as a journalist and an interviewer and someone who has worked at times over the years trying to help give voice or at least help marginalized individuals advocate a little bit more for themselves or tell their own stories when they're facing times of challenge. It is frustrating sometimes because these marginalized individuals don't feel that they their story is important. Some may feel they really don't even have a story, and that's got to be the saddest thing of all.
Exactly. And we know that every single person has a story. On this past weekend, January 11th, mm-hmm. we had a mini rave in New London, and I was talking to one gentleman there in advance of that event, and telling him he should come on Saturday and tell his stories. And he said, "Oh no, I don't have any stories. I grew up in Brooklyn. I don't have any stories. You don't want to hear the stories that I have to tell." And over the course of an hour, after him protesting that he didn't have any stories, he told me probably 20 stories, and all really representative of what life is like through his experience. And many of these were heartbreaking stories. Many of these were really profound stories that we should all know about, that we should all know about what life is like for certain segments of the population, what life is like, because how do we make public policy? How do we care for people who are struggling, who have had difficult circumstances? How do we know if they don't stand up and say, this is what my life has been like, and this is what I need, this is what would have made my life better? And if we're telling the story of the fires in L.A., we're not going to be talking about the mayor or the Hollywood starlets. We're going to be focusing on what it's like to lose a home, what it's like to be a firefighter. That's the history of these fires. It's not about the rich and famous people. It's not about the big, important people in California. It's about the individual people's lives. That's the history of this fire.
Yeah. I have to say that one of the most heart-wrenching stories that I had been hearing reporting on are the tens of thousands of service workers and others who take care of these properties that are now leveled and scorched. That suddenly, virtually overnight, 10,000 people, for lack of a better term, went out of business, irrelevant of where these people came from, who they are, how much they have or how little they have, race, creed, what have you. All of a sudden, the pool cleaners and the landscapers and the house keepers and such, those who do the driving or other chores and activities, the switch flipped off overnight. And this is the kind of thing that that you want to hear about. So you have a statewide project that you are going to be doing on April 5th. It's called the All Connecticut Storytelling Rave.
Yes.
This sounds like one of those things where you're casting a very wide and deep net with the hopes of really fortifying your stock of history stories on historychip.com. Let's move toward the end of our chat and talk a little bit more about that, what you hope to gain through it, and how folks can come to it or participate.
Yes, we're really excited about this. So April 5th, All Connecticut Storytelling Rave. We'll be reaching out to every library, every historical society, every town hall, museum, senior center, community center, brew pubs and coffee shops to act as hosts for storytelling. We want people all over the state on the 5th of April. And they can also go on the site before or after and add stories. But we're really focusing on this one day to galvanize interest and storytelling. We're looking to get 10,000 stories on that day from all over the state of Connecticut, from farmers to taxi drivers to the governor, to come and tell their stories.
It's very rare. It's so rare when something happens that every single person can do.
Right. And the only thing that I can think of is when we vote. The voting is today, where everybody goes. So I think that's also, this is more of a celebration. So I'm hoping that people will take this in the same way as voting. I'm standing up for myself, but I'm going to go do this. It's going to be fun. I can talk about myself. I can share my point of view, my experience, and you'll get a sticker or a button or a thank you. Everyone will get some thank you for having added their story.
Yeah.
And because we are looking to build enormous momentum with this as well, to get everyone all over the state to know about History Chip, so that even after the rave, people will know this is a place where they can tell their story, and it will be preserved forever, and it's fully searchable. It will be part of history. Their story will matter. Their story will be a part of a permanent archive that will help to shape the future, help to ennoble ordinary people, to help to build empathy and understanding for the full range of people in Connecticut and in the world itself.
Now, while correlating to voting in terms of it's something everybody can do, certainly History Chip and the All Connecticut Storytelling Rave on April 5th, or any storytelling that's done through the History Chip Initiative, it's not restricted to 18 and older. Young people bring a spectacular energy, obviously, and sometimes maybe the most poignant stories of all in the shortest of lives by comparison to some centenarians or other older folks who have come to History Chip with a much bigger history book, if you will.
Right, that's true. The stories of kids going through school and COVID or watching their friends struggle with depression or
sure.
drug addiction, or even just what it's like to be bullied or just to, you know, I hate math. I don't want to do this.
Right.
And we do invite everyone to tell their stories. We do request that children under 16 have permission from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on History Chip and post your story anonymously because we do want to protect children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want their names and information out there.
Sure.
So we do take pains to make sure that they are protected.
Excellent. Well, I so appreciate the conversation with you and the opportunity to chat, Gene. Gene McGavin is founder of History Chip, the All Connecticut Storytelling Rave, is hoping to gather 10,000 new stories within the day of April 5th. We hope you'll go to historychip.com to learn more about how to be part of our collective history. Thank you so much, Gene, for the conversation this morning, and best of luck on the 5th. And I think we're going to be talking to you again. So I look forward to that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.